is far betterment. Welcome and thank you for joining me on another episode of Far Betterment, the podcast where we learn new things about old friends and old things about new friends. First of all, I want to thank all of my supporters, everybody who's downloaded, who's subscribed, who's listened, and who follows us on social media. Thank you guys so very much for your support. It means everything to me, truly. And a special thank you to those of you who've taken the time out of your day to give us a 5-star rating. I cannot tell you how much it means to me that you would go out of your way to give us a 5-star rating and let everybody know that you enjoy and appreciate what we're doing here on Far Betterment. So thank you for that. If you haven't done so already, please don't forget to hit that subscribe button. You can find us on your favorite podcasting platform by searching for Far Betterment. In this episode, I'm joined by my wife and frequent guest, Robin. We're going to talk a little bit about panic attacks, anxiety. It's something I deal with kind of frequently lately, or at least in the last year or so. And I kind of just wanted to talk about the tools I use, what it feels like, and also what it feels like for my wife to experience this through me as well, and how she helps and what she's learned in dealing with these things. So I hope this is helpful to somebody out there who has dealt with panic attacks or anxiety, or somebody who knows somebody who goes through these things. And I hope this kind of gives you some tools, or at least there's something you can take from it that you can use in your life to help you to get through a panic attack or get through an anxiety attack. Other than that, all I can say is make sure you do your research and do as much reading as possible, and kind of learn what the signs are and learn what to look for and learn what works for you. That's the biggest thing, is, you know, learn what works for yourself and what works for you to get through it. And kind of find your own ways and develop your own tools to get through a panic attack. So without further ado, here is myself and my wife talking about anxiety for Far Betterment. Hello, welcome to another episode of Far Betterment. I'm joined today by a random, frequent, not random, but a frequent guest, Robin.
Hello.
Yep. Okay. So anyway, I really didn't want a podcast today, to be honest, but I did it anyway. Here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are, talking about podcasting. Really, I think what we're going to plan on talking about was panic attacks.
Mm-hmm. Because you have them.
Yep. And I think that maybe it'd be helpful for someone else to listen to how somebody who has not frequent panic attacks, but lately over the last year, probably.
They're pretty frequent.
But they weren't.
No.
Actually, I hadn't had one in a very long time, and then started to have them again over the last, actually not even a year, maybe the last like 6 months.
No, it was probably a year, maybe even a year and a half.
Okay. Well, yeah. Before that, I probably hadn't had one. I don't know.
How, when you were younger, you used to have them, right?
Yeah, all the time. Well, no, that's not true. I started having them when I was like 12, 13.
And how often would you have them?
When I first started having them, I remember the first week I had one every day. Almost. Didn't know what they were.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the hospital once, because, I mean, that's kind of a frequent thing when you have panic attacks. You go to the hospital thinking, like, you're going to die. Actually, the very first time I had one, I remember I was sitting in my room in the old apartments where I live with my mom, and I was freaking out. I don't know. I was just sitting there by myself, and I don't know what I was even thinking about, like existing or something. And I started freaking out, and then my mom came in and she started freaking out, and she called the ambulance, and they came.
Mm.
And then they said, You're just having a panic attack.
So, okay. Well, maybe describe what a panic attack feels like for people who'd never been around them or don't know what they are.
I mean, it's really hard to describe. It just feels like sheer panic, like just the absolute panic. Like if you're in a situation where you can't see a way out and then you can't control yourself and you can't do anything, like it just shuts you down. It puts you in this weird state where you're like useless. Basically, like you can't really do anything. You can't get yourself out of it. You can't control your emotions. You can't control your thoughts. Most times you can't control your breathing either. Like for me, I really, really have to try hard. And I think that's maybe the new thing lately is that now if I have a panic attack, it's like I can't even control my breathing anymore. Where before I got so good at having panic attacks that I could control myself and really like it would only last a couple minutes and be gone, where now I really need help.
It's people think that they're dying when they have one, right? People yeah. think there's heart attacks a lot of times, right?
Oh yeah, like almost every time I think that. I really 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 have to talk myself out of it, or you have to talk me out of it.
Yeah, you always think you're having a heart attack.
Yeah, like every time.
Is that usually what starts it? Maybe you're having like heartburn or something and you overthink it?
I don't know. Sometimes it just starts because like I can usually tell it's going to happen. I usually wake up or like know that day like, oh, I'm probably going to have a heart attack or a heart attack. Probably going to have a panic attack today because I'll feel jittery. Like if I've had too much coffee or something, I'll feel jittery. That same feeling. And so, like, I'll just know today's the day. And sometimes I think, well, maybe it's because I'm thinking that's why. So I don't really know if that help, you know, contributes. But, yeah, I don't know. I just know one's coming. I remember a lot of times I even tell you, I'm probably going to have a panic attack today. Mm-hmm. And then I either do or I don't.
Yeah. Well, usually you do. But,
yeah. Usually I do. Yeah. And then, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know what happened. Like, I just got really good at dealing with them, and then now I can't anymore.
Well, how often, you said you had one, the first time you ever had one, you had one, like, every day. After that, how often were you having them?
Maybe once a month or once every few months. And then I went a long time without having them at all.
Well, yeah, I don't think you ever had one in the first 13 years of a relationship.
I probably did, just not where I needed anybody. Like I used to have them, but I got so good at dealing with them that I just dealt with them. Like they would last a few minutes. I would be able to talk myself down and be totally fine.
Well, you started having them again after you started taking the Charlotte's Web CBD. Oh, should I not have said the name of the CBD?
Yes, probably not. But after I started taking that, yeah, I need a CBD with like either very low or no THC in it.
Well, no THC because really, the one you were taking doesn't had very low THC. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing is like the Charlotte's Web, for anybody that's heard of that company, I don't have anything against them, just so anyone knows. Like it was actually working really well for me. I actually liked it and it was working just fine. It's that we didn't shake the bottle. And so the bottom was just like.
Well, you have a pretty bad effects to THC, right?
Yeah. I mean, I just am like very like paranoid. And so it gives me panic attacks. Like that paranoia, just instant panic attacks. So I'm not much of a smoker at all. And I haven't been since I was a teenager. I mean, I used to be and then decided.
Were you ever? I thought you didn't really smoke marijuana that much.
When I was a kid, I did. Well, probably like eighth grade to sophomore year, maybe. And then I don't know what happened. Some switch flipped in me again where, like, yeah, now I started associating it with panic attacks and it gave me panic attacks every single time. So I stopped smoking.
But there's another CBD oil that you like that's THC free.
Yeah, and that one seems to at least help with like some of the back pain.
Because you started taking CBD because of depression.
Yeah. Yeah, and that actually seemed to work too. Where like, that's what I was saying, like the Charlotte's Web was working for that stuff, but since we didn't shake the bottle at the bottom, it got very, very concentrated. Like, so if you have CBD and you don't want that feeling, shake the bottle every time.
Well, I think most people don't have that effect like
yeah,
you do.
I guess so. But yeah, so the bottom of the bottle got very concentrated and basically it was like just pure THC. And so I took it and didn't really think about it. I didn't think, like, I had already been taking it for weeks. So it was fine, no big deal. And then all of a sudden it hit me and instant panic attack.
Yeah, we drove to the hospital. Well, we drove and we had to pull over because you got nauseous.
Oh, yeah. And I vomited everywhere. For like 20 minutes.
And then we drove to the hospital. But you didn't go in the hospital. You just were at the hospital.
Yeah, because I hate doing that. You know, it's so embarrassing. Like, and I shouldn't say that because people shouldn't be embarrassed. But it is, to me, to have a panic attack and go into a hospital. It sucks. It sucks because you know you're wasting everyone's time. And I know why I'm there. But sometimes, like, just being there and then talking to you and saying, it's okay, you're not having a heart attack. Look, we hooked you up to this machine that tells us you're not having a heart attack. Then that a lot of times will like stop the panic attack, or not stop it completely, but it'll like calm me down enough to where I can start bringing myself back down. Mm-hmm. But not that time. That time was definitely because of the THC. So all I could do was lay on the grass.
Well, yeah, we just...
And stare at the sky.
We did.
Try to just ride it out until it went away.
We did. Well, they only usually last about 30 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. That one lasted a little longer. That one was probably like 2 hours. And I remember thinking like, yeah, I wrote it out. I did it. And now I feel kind of good. And I remember thinking, like, I remember what being high was like. This is all right. That first part wasn't worth it, though. But this part is okay.
Yeah, that's definitely what, like, started your panic attacks again, because now you have them. I don't know, how often do you say you have them?
Like, a couple times a week. Or, I don't know, they're just really kind of spontaneous. So I either have them a couple times a week, or I don't for a few, like a month or two, mm-hmm. and then I have them again for a few times, and mm-hmm. that's just really random.
And you are like violently shaking.
Yeah, that's new.
You're freezing cold.
That never used to happen to me. Now I can't control my shaking. Like I shake so hard, I mm-hmm. can't stop it. Really, the only thing that stops a panic attack for me is you and a heater.
Like, well, what helps you? What helps stop panic attacks?
Heat definitely helps for me. So any like temperature changes, like extreme temperature changes, are supposed to help. So since I shake and I'm cold, usually I'll put like just pure heat from a heater on me. And that usually at least like slows my breathing down. Because sometimes I'll be breathing so hard I'll like start almost passing out. Mm. So it's weird. Like heat works, or if I'm like really conscious of how hard I'm breathing and I try to just take the deepest breaths possible, sometimes that works, but a lot of times it just makes me freak out more.
Well, you always say, I can't breathe, but I mean, I can clearly see that you are breathing.
Well, it's like you can't
catch your breath.
Yeah. It's like you feel like you're sucking air in, but no oxygen's getting inside. Mm-hmm. So it feels like you could be taking the deepest breaths possible, but there's no oxygen gain in you. You just feel like you're out of breath, like you've run a marathon. Mm. It sucks. So that's what I mean when I say I can't breathe, because I can't catch my breath at all. And that makes you panic even more. Because in that moment, like all your mind is telling you, it's like, you're going to die. This is how you die. Like, and you know you're not going to die. I know I'm not going to die. I tell myself, like, this isn't a heart attack. I know I'm not going to die. This isn't, you know, anything but a panic attack. I know I'm breathing, but it doesn't matter because your brain is too busy in this like survival mode where it's just trying to do anything to save you or to like make you save yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's making you breathe harder. It's making you want to go to the hospital to like get help. It's making you want to do all these things to save you, and they don't make any sense. But you'll try anything because you're panicking.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's, I think, the difference is I've had so many that it just, like, it's kind of normal to me now. And
well, you always want to, like you said, you always want to go to the hospital. I always have to say no.
Yeah.
We're not going to the hospital.
Yep. Because you really, like, trick yourself into thinking, like, oh, maybe this time's the time. Maybe this isn't a panic attack this time. Like, you always have that in the back of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That sucks. But yeah, like heat really works a lot for me. Heat's probably the biggest thing. But a lot of times they say not to use heat because you can overheat. And I shouldn't even be thinking about this because now this is going to be in my head next time. But
yeah, but I'm there to make sure you're not overheating yourself, I guess.
Yeah, well, and also like I'm shivering. So I think cold would make it worse.
Some people say to dunk your head into ice water, right?
Yeah. Like you just pour ice water over your head, like the coldest water you can get, and just pour it on you or dip your head in there. Because again, extreme temperature changes are supposed to like snap your brain out of that panic. They're supposed to. I was talking to a friend. Well, she's been on, Tegan, and she told me that she thinks, or she was told, I might be wrong about this, but I believe is what she said, was that panic affects the same part of the brain as excitement does. So, like, the reason the temperature changes work is because you're, like, switching your brain from panic to excitement.
Hmm.
To startling, I guess. So, I don't know. But, yeah, the doctors told me extreme temperature changes are good. Another thing that works for me, this is probably just me, but this really helps, is watching YouTube videos about like the most mundane things, like bees. Watching beekeepers,
we love watching
so much.
Though.
And those
calming
guys
videos,
yeah.
You wouldn't think bees would be calming, but
it's so calming. It's so calming. I want to be a beekeeper like for the rest of my life, and I don't even like bees. Although after watching bees and realizing how calming they are, like I kind of like bees, and we pet a bee one time, which was pretty awesome.
We did pet a bee.
We'll have to post that video sometime on the Instagram, but that was pretty cool. But also those videos where those guys are like digging holes and building like these elaborate pools in the middle of the jungle, and they're like, I don't know, they build these like underground like cave. Like houses.
It's like a literal man cave.
It's awesome. And they build these pools with the water slides and stuff just out in the middle of the jungle.
And it's all just dirt, like, though.
Yeah,
it's
all dirt. It's just this one dude or two guys out there just
building.
What
is that guy we were watching? We were watching one yesterday. His name's Mr. something. I forget.
Oh, I don't even know. But yeah, because I was having a panic attack yesterday morning. Yeah. Yesterday, I actually kind of freaked myself out even more because I was having so much trouble breathing, I went into the bathroom and then I was like about to pass out. And I realized no one's going to be able to catch me. I'm going to smash my head right here on this sink.
Why didn't you tell me that? Well, I kept telling you, come lay down. And you kept saying no.
Don't even remember.
Yeah.
Because I'm that much in a panic that I just have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I kept telling you, you kept saying, I'm going to pass out. And you kept getting up off the bed. I was like, where are you going? Come lay down if you think you're going to pass out. You didn't do it.
No.
Until finally you came back and laid down.
Well, because I couldn't breathe in the bed. So when I got out of the bed, I felt like I could breathe again. I don't know. It's hard to explain. Unless you've had panic attacks, they're really hard to explain. Because, I don't know, just put yourself in a situation where you have no control over it. No control over whether you live or die. No control over, like, your feelings or emotions. Like, just in a state of complete, pure panic. Like, that's what it is. You just can't control your panic. When you're in a situation like that, you cannot control yourself. And only it's your brain telling you. Your in a panic state and you're probably just hanging out of your house or like just out somewhere a lot of times, you know. I'm not one of those people that really has panic attacks from situations. Like, I don't have situational panic attacks. I don't panic, like, if I'm in a crowd. I don't panic if I'm, you know, like, out somewhere in a scary or dangerous... Like, I don't panic while we're driving, usually. Usually a panic attack for me is just completely out of nowhere.
It's also a lot of times, like, if you're not sleeping very well, it seems like...
Yep. Because I think if I don't get enough sleep, like, well, you know... If I don't sleep enough, I get like sick. Like I feel physically ill if I don't sleep. Like if I sleep for 3 or 4 hours a few days in a row, like I get sick. I feel horrible.
Oh, it's also good to note that you have insomnia. Because most people sleep more than 3 to 4 hours in a row.
Yeah, well.
You have bad insomnia and you can never fall asleep.
I do
have
some
insomnia. Unlike me, I can sleep
whenever
I would like to sleep.
So, yeah. And then eventually after a few days, my body decides it's going to catch up. So like last night, I've like only slept a few hours, but then not like in the middle of the day, I was like, I'm tired and I had to go to bed. Mm-hmm. Or not in the middle of the day, but you know, earlier than usual.
Yeah.
So I think when I don't get enough sleep and then I get that like I get that, it's really hard to describe it. Like my insides feel like they're vibrating and I feel really jittery and shaky.
Because you didn't get enough sleep?
Yep. And then that's when I start having panic attacks too, because that's the same feeling I get when I have a panic attack. It's like that vibrating, like buzzy feeling. And my mouth starts getting dry and then I have trouble breathing. And then, so it's like a whole process from not panicking to panicking, like, and that's why I think I know when it's coming. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, that like vibrating feeling is a thing that's like the worst thing to me, like, because I can hear it, I can feel it, it's just like horrible. It's the worst. I can't imagine, like, I don't know.
It runs in your family, right?
The like panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my mom's got them. I think my dad used to have them, but my dad.
Oh, your dad did too.
I think my dad's like a very private guy, though. He wouldn't talk about it. So I'm sure. Maybe he would have. I don't really know. But my brother, my cousin.
Mm-hmm. Your aunt, right?
My aunt. Yeah. My other cousin. Like, yeah, a bunch of people. Anxiety runs high, I guess, and depression. So,
yeah.
Yeah, a lot of family members with anxiety and depression.
How do they deal with them? Do you know?
They're all on medication for the most part, I think. Well, that's not true. That's not true. Some are on medication, and I think that helps them a lot. And then some are not, and I think we kind of just have to deal with it on our own, or however we've learned to deal with it. For me, the medication... never really worked. I mean, maybe I didn't try enough, but I've tried a lot. And
when was the last time you tried it, though?
Just recently, the doctor gave me some medication.
Did you take it?
I don't remember. I thought I took it once.
No, because one of the side effects was panic attacks, I think.
Well, one of the side effects was anxiety. Why would I?
You said, no, I'm not going to take this.
I felt like the risk. Okay, I remember that. So the risk wasn't worth the reward for me. So, yeah, that's a stupid... Is that not a stupid side effect for an anti-anxiety medicine, is anxiety? It seems pretty stupid. So, no, I didn't take it. Okay, I remember.
Maybe you should have, though. Maybe you should have given it a shot, at least.
Well, you know me. I don't just take medicine without reading every single bad thing about it first to make sure that, like, I can deal with the bad stuff.
Yeah, that's...
I'm high-strung. Yeah, so, no, I didn't take it because... F that. Anxiety is a side effect for my anti-anxiety medication. No thanks. No thanks.
That was a weird side effect.
Yeah. I don't understand why. Like, why? So, I don't know. Anyway, like, what else helps? Heat.
Lavender.
Bee videos. Lavender helps quite a bit, which is a weird thing because that never helped me before.
Well, you probably never tried it before, but I had Googled a bunch of stuff what would help, and that was something online that said that would help. So we bought a bunch of lavender scented stuff.
Yeah, that
essential
did.
Oil.
That does help, lavender. Having somebody that's telling me I'm not going to die helps. Yeah.
Well, you're welcome.
This thing I hate doing, but sometimes this helps, actually, is holding one of the kids. Helps. I just hate, I really rarely do that. Like, very rarely. And mostly because I don't want to put that on them. I don't want them to think that it's their responsibility to make me feel better. I also don't want them to see me like that. In a way, like, I want to be honest with them, but I don't want them to see me like that because I think that that's, like, scary to them. I don't want them to see that. And so I do try, like, my best to hide it from them, I hope. Or, like, shield them from it anyway. Mm-hmm. Our oldest knows. He, like, kind of gets it. And I can see that it worries him. But, like, holding our daughter helps quite a bit. Because she's not very cuddly. So when she, like, lets me hold her, she's very, like, comforting. I don't know. And she doesn't understand yet, I guess. Mm-hmm. So that always helps. But that's, like, my last resort. And also, it's kind of hard to do, too, because I have to pretend like nothing's bothering me when I'm with the kids. I have to hold it in, kind of, so that they don't know what's going on. Sometimes if you're not around or if someone's not here, I'll call somebody that I rarely talk to. That helps.
Why the rarely talk to?
Because I feel like if I'm being honest with somebody about something that I haven't been honest with them about before, like, it's some kind of, like, release for me. So, like, one time we were having a panic, or I mean, it kind of is, though, when I'm having one, because you always have to deal with it. But I remember this specific time, it was not helpful to have you around. Like, it was making it worse, which is just, like, a reality of it sometimes. And so I went and called a friend, Tegan, and I called, like, actually called one of the people that I've spoke to on the podcast, and I'm really glad they didn't answer. But I've talked to them about anxiety before and stuff, so I was hoping maybe they had some thing to offer. I don't know what that was about. But Tegan, I called. I called my friend Ton. Like, I called a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And Tegan answered. And so that was pretty helpful, actually. This is probably a terrible idea, but driving helps me sometimes. It's a bad idea to drive when you're having a panic attack, especially if you're prone to hyperventilating and, like, blacking out and stuff, because that does happen. Uh-huh. I've never blacked out during a panic attack, ever. And if I'm hyperventilating, like, I've had panic attacks so much that I know well enough, like, I need, even if I feel like I'm not breathing, I just need to take deep breaths because I can't pass out. So driving really helps me because it takes my focus off of the panic attack itself and puts my focus on driving. I have to pay attention to what I'm doing, pay attention to what's going on around me rather than what I'm dealing with. So, mm-hmm. Which you would think wouldn't help because it's like there's a lot of anxiety in driving. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It helps me. Hmm. So, I don't know. I think you should tell people what it's like for you when I'm having a panic attack, because I think maybe, you know, panic attacks aren't super common, and maybe somebody out there would like to know how to help or deal with them if somebody they know has them.
I don't know. You usually tell me that you think you're going to have a panic attack, or you say you're not feeling well, but then I could tell it's actually a panic attack. Like, a lot of times it happens if you have heartburn for whatever reason.
Oh, well, I mean, I think that's pretty simple to explain, though, because it's kind of common for people to have to mistake heartburn for heart attacks because it's the nerves that alert you to heartburn are the same nerves that alert you to a heart attack. They're all in the same spot, so they feel the same. Mm-hmm. And if I'm in a state of panic or if I'm like anxious that day already, then if I have a little tiny tinge of a poke in my heart or in my chest or whatever, it's instantly, I think, this is it. Where like on any given day, it's like, oh, well, whatever. This is just heartburn. Let's move on with our day. But on those days, I'm like really hypersensitive to that kind of shit. So that's, yeah.
Well, yeah. And then I usually can tell. And so then you start a lot of times, I don't know, pacing, like walking around, like hyperventilating. Or sometimes you just say, I need to go lay down in the other room.
Yeah.
And so then we go into the other room and then I usually get the heater and blankets and make you lay down and I'll get the iPad. Sometimes I'll try to play like calming music. I don't know if that really ever helps. But then I just basically just get all the stuff that I know that you'll need, the lavender, and then we just lay there. And then I usually try to put on something on YouTube. And a lot of times at first you're like, no, I can't watch it right now. And it's usually like towards the end of the panic attack that you'll start watching something.
Yeah.
It usually only lasts like 30 minutes. But yeah, the whole time you're saying stuff like, how do you know this isn't going to be the time that I'm going to die? How do you know this isn't a heart attack?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just know it's not a heart attack.
But one day.
One day it might be, and then I'm going to be, that would be bad. But I feel like a heart attack, you wouldn't be acting like that.
Well, there's a lot of differences too. And like because I've asked the doctor, like, can you please just, like, I'm tired of not knowing the difference. Can you please just tell me, like, what I need to look for so that way I can start talking myself out of panic attacks better? And so, like, a heart attack, for those, this is what I've been told by the doctor. It's like, it's not like just a little pain, you know, like, it's not just like a little poke or, you know, it's not just your heart hurting for a few seconds or you thinking your heart hurts. It's not just a hurting or like a pain in your chest for a few seconds or even a couple of minutes. Like a heart attack doesn't stop hurting. Mm-hmm. It like keeps hurting. And it feels like you're, from what I've been told, it feels like your chest is being squeezed. Like somebody's got their fists around your heart and they're just squeezing it. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then also, your blood pressure, I think what they told me, like your blood pressure doesn't go up during a heart attack. I think it actually goes down, if I remember correctly.
I didn't know that. Well, not this time you had a panic attack, but I think it was maybe last time you had me check your blood pressure, but mm-hmm. you didn't let me. I told you I wasn't going to let you see it.
Which is, when I check my, like, that's always a bad idea. Blood pressure, for some reason, like, always sends me into a panic attack when I, because I have good blood pressure, and then when I like check it and it's not good, I'm like, ah.
Well, because it was high that time.
Yeah.
And you kept telling me to tell you, and I told you it was high, which made you scared more, but.
And then I went to the hospital.
Shouldn't a high be good?
Well, I didn't know that until after.
Oh.
So, and no, like high's not good.
Well, no.
But it means you're not having a heart attack, most likely. And also the doctor said that, I mean, basically you like, cause here's another thing I worry about, that my heart beats so fast when I'm having a panic attack that it's like going to explode. And he said that can't really happen, but like it, that's what you think about though. Like just these irrational things. Like it doesn't matter if I already know this stuff can't happen because I think it can. So,
well, I mean, it makes sense that you're, blood pressure would be high, though, because you're in a
heart's
panic.
Heart's beating, and you're in a panic, yeah. And when you're in a panic state, like, your blood pressure goes up pretty high, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And your heart's already beating. It's like work. It's like after exercise. Like, your blood pressure's up, your heart's beating fast. Like, that stuff's normal. Where, like, if you're having a heart attack, like, none of that stuff will be normal. None of that stuff will happen. Your blood pressure goes down. Your heart starts struggling to beat. It's irregular, and you're in constant pain and your arms hurt or your arm hurts or can, and it radiates up to your jaw and your lips start getting blue and, you know, because there's a lack of oxygen pumping through your body and stuff, and you start getting confused and you can get a fever. You get nauseous, things like that. That's why, like, my other thing is if I have, like, three of those symptoms and I'm having a panic attack, I'm like, oh, my God, this is it this time.
Mm-hmm.
But I always have three of those symptoms almost every time, you know, like, I'll be, like, my chest will hurt and I'll be, like, vomiting or, you know, like, my heart is, well, I guess not my heart, but, you know, like, I'll have a pain or I'll be, like, fainting, because that's another symptom of heart attack is, like, you'll be, you'll feel faint
because
you're not getting blood pumped through you and, so if I have any of those symptoms, I'm instantly thinking I'm having a panic or I'm having a heart attack and I have to talk myself out of it. But that's the irrational part about having panic attacks is you just, no matter how much you know, no matter how logical you are about it, it doesn't matter at all. I don't know. I have to talk myself out of heart attacks every single time.
Panic attacks?
No, but I'm saying like I am having a heart attack. Yeah. I have to talk myself out of it every single time.
Hmm.
And like I'm fairly healthy actually. Like I have good, you know, blood pressure, good cholesterol. Like, you know, I'm 34. I'm still fairly young and like I'm decently healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, you know, I'm overweight, but I'm not like I have good everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So
what are your plans in the future to help panic attacks?
I don't have any. I really don't know. Like, I've just grown up with them, and I feel like, I don't know. Nothing's really helped. I just have them, and then I deal with it, and I don't
no
have
plans.
It. Yeah,
no
I really don't know what...
Well, I don't know if there are plans. So what would you suggest to anyone listening who might have a panic attack in the future, who's never experienced one, or maybe a family member will have one while they're around? Like, what should they do?
Read a lot about, if you're a family member, definitely read about what you can do to help. Don't like feed into it, because if you start telling somebody like, oh my God, I don't know what to do or something like that. You know, that's the least helpful thing you probably could do is freak out also. Like my mom, for instance, the very first time I ever had one, she freaked out and called the ambulance.
Well, I mean, I feel like the first time.
She had no idea. So, but that's really hard, like when you don't know. But after that, once you realize it's a panic attack, like try to read, try to figure out what you can do. Like you did, you know, you read what things were calming, things like that. And so those things, you know, lavender was a big thing I never tried before. That helped quite a bit. For anybody who's having panic attacks, I would say find the ways that work for you. Like try different things. Listen to other people who've had them and try their things. And then take the things that work for you and use those. Because you really have to find a way to get through them yourself. It's really hard for anybody else to talk you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, for me anyway, if it's a doctor, you know, a medical professional can usually talk me out of it and talk me down. But you don't want to go to the doctor for a panic attack. It really sucks. And it's a waste of money. And it's a waste of time. And I hate saying that because, you know, you're freaking out and panicking. And you feel like you want to go to the hospital and you want to go get help. And it's, you know, it's a mental illness, really, like that anxiety. But I would say most people who have panic attacks don't want to be the person going to the hospital every time they have a panic attack. Like, it sucks. Mm-hmm. I've done it plenty of times. It really sucks. I hate it.
And unfortunately, there are some medical professionals we just saw few months ago online about medical professionals that kind of make fun of.
Which is, makes it harder because when you're freaking out and panicking and you feel like you have to go to the hospital, like now it's a whole set of other anxiety to deal with. Like,
that's not the norm. That shouldn't be the norm.
No, it shouldn't. It really shouldn't. And I hope it's not. And this was just one example. And hopefully, you know, it's isolated to this place or this person, the horrible person. Like, but yeah, it made me think twice about ever going back to the hospital for things like that. You should be able to go and feel comfortable. But at the same time, like a panic attack, like I feel like if you learn the right tools and you learn how to deal with them, you can at least get through it. You can at least understand what's happening and get yourself through the panic attack. Temperature changes work pretty well. Like, that's probably one of the biggest helps to me is the temperature changes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, heat works really well for me, but cold works really, really well for other people because some people have panic attacks and they get hot and sweaty and, like, you know, their body's going through a lot. Because I think that's another thing people don't realize. Like, after I have a panic attack, I don't know, maybe this isn't for everybody, but after I have one, I'm exhausted. Like, my body's just exhausted, and I feel like taking a nap. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just so tired. So, yeah, like, the temperature changes help quite a bit. The lavender helps quite a bit. And then other things, like, if you have something that you like to listen to relax or watch to relax, do that. You really have to find your own things. Sometimes this helps, but I'll admit, like, I forget a lot of times to even think about this when I'm in the middle of a panic attack. But thinking, like, from moment to moment, like, okay, right now I'm panicking, I'm gonna deal with this right now, but this next minute maybe I won't be. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of dealing with it, like, minute by minute. Most of the time I'm just trying to watch bees, though. Or people building things. Because, for real, those things are, like, really helpful to me. I don't know why.
There was this hilarious bee guy on YouTube.
Just joshing
was his YouTube.
Yeah.
And he's like a teenager. And he brought his freaking wasp in his room.
To live with him. He put a wasp's nest in his bedroom.
Uh-huh. Yep.
They're just flying around.
And
he has a whole
family, and they were, like, cool with it. If our kid was like, I'm going to bring a wasp nest in our house, I'd be like, no, you are not.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen in our house. But he had his wasps, and they lived in his room.
He hasn't updated us in a while, so maybe the wasp ball attacked him. I don't know what happened to him, but
I don't know, but that kid's hilarious. That kid makes me laugh so hard. So, yeah, you guys should check out Just Joshin on YouTube because that guy has wasps living in his house and he gets stung constantly.
Well, he put them in his house and then he went on, like, vacation or something like that. So he came back and they were, like, all settled into their new room.
Yeah. I don't know. But those videos help me. But not those, that one specifically, but, like, beekeeping videos where they just talk about the bees. Or the ones where they're moving nests or they're sucking up wasps into a vacuum. Uh-huh. Those help a lot.
You know what else? I don't know if these help you, but you watch these sometimes are the plumbing ones. Those are so gross.
Oh, where they're clearing drains?
Yeah.
Like mundane tasks. People are just working, doing their jobs. Like, those.
That's so gross because so, like, much. Poop is overflowing everywhere. He's just sucking it up.
Yeah, that is gross. Like, the ones with the corn and stuff in them are pretty disgusting.
Oh, my God. Oh, and the other one you like to watch are the carpet cleaning videos.
Oh, man, those are relaxing.
It's so nice to watch. Look at how clean
it's
the carpet
satisfying,
is.
Satisfying, yeah. I love the before and after. Yeah, those are relaxing, though. It's weird, too, because it's not something I would watch, like, on a daily basis. But then when I'm having a panic attack, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is good. This is good. This is just what I needed right here. I don't know. It's weird. But, yeah, like, you really got to find your own stuff. Like, you can't take what other people say and then try to see if any of those work for you. But really, like, find your own things to use to help you. Because if you find your own ways to deal with panic attacks, it'll be a lot easier for you to get through them instead of just having to, like, I don't know, freak out the whole time, because that's really what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, my first panic attack probably lasted hours till the ambulance got there. And that's probably the only time I ever, like, was passing out or was, like, near passing out where I was actually, like, yeah. Because I was hyperventilating so much, I was just like, this is how I die. But I was really young. So, yeah. The ambulance came and they're like, this idiot, which sucks because I was freaking out.
I doubt they said this idiot.
They didn't say this idiot, but they were just like, it's just a panic attack. And then they left.
Oh, you didn't go to the hospital?
No, they didn't take me to the hospital. They were like, they literally were like, this was a waste of our time. So
sucks.
Yeah, it does suck because you don't want to feel like that when you're having a panic attack. Like, that doesn't help you. It makes you feel worse.
Mm.
So, also, like, I don't know. Therapy helps quite a bit. Like, therapy really does help. Like, go to therapy. I'm a big believer in therapy.
Well, you're supposed to have therapy yesterday.
I was, but I was having a panic attack.
You canceled it.
Yes. Yeah. Yesterday, I didn't, like, even though I said driving helps, I did not think I could drive yesterday.
Hmm.
Yep. I thought if I go to therapy right now and drive, this won't be my only panic attack today.
Hmm.
So I didn't want to go. So I didn't. But I like my therapist. She's very nice. And I like going to therapy. It's super helpful. Therapy is a great way to talk to somebody who's not involved in your life and can't judge you on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And you can vent and, yeah, get things out. So
yeah.
I think that de-stresses me quite a bit, is being able to go to therapy. Yeah. I think that actually probably made me have more of a panic attack yesterday. It was because I was canceling therapy and then realized, like, I have to deal with this stuff for the next week until I go next week. Like, it's, I think that probably added to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to, because there's no way I could have gone.
Well, is there anything else you want to add about panic attacks before we...
Don't have them.
Okay. Sure.
That's what I wish I could tell myself. No, I mean, it's nothing, I guess... Even though I've felt embarrassed about it, I've gotten better about that over the last few years. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. Like, it's not like you can control it. You know, if I could control it, I wouldn't be having them. I would never have a panic attack again if I could control it. It sucks. It's like one of the worst feelings.
Well, when you Google it, a lot of times people say they're having a panic attack because they think they're going to have a panic attack again or something like that.
Yeah, I've had that. Like, especially in the beginning, when I first started having them. Yep. So, it's just, I don't know. I just want people to realize it's not embarrassing. It's part of life, and some of us have to deal with it, and it's not something you can control at all. Like, you just can't control it. If you could, like I said, I wouldn't be having them ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to find a way to control it so that I can make sure my kids don't have to deal with it. It really sucks.
Well, maybe you should try medicines then. Ones that don't say they cause anxiety. Or try it. Maybe we'll help you.
Well, let's pop some Xanax and...
Well, that's not what I said.
That's medicine.
Okay. Let's try the one that was prescribed to you that was not Xanax.
Well, the doctor did try to prescribe me Xanax. I said no. That was actually the first thing she offered.
Hmm.
But I said no. So, you're welcome.
Probably smart.
Because I could have got a prescription for Xanax. And then I would never have panic attacks again. It would have been great.
You'd also just be laying around like a lump, though, all the time.
Only when I was on Xanax.
Okay. anyway.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah. It's nothing to be ashamed about. And find someone you can talk to. Like, you know, or I mean, I'm more than willing to talk to people too. I mean, I've had plenty of people reach out. So if you feel like you need to reach out and don't have anyone to talk to, feel free to reach out to me or, you know, or whatever. Or if you want to come on the podcast and talk about your experiences with anxiety or panic attacks, we'd love to have you. And maybe you have something to offer that I have not thought about or can't offer myself or, you know, you have a different experience or a different perspective. We'd love to hear from you. But other than that, take deep breaths. Do something relaxing. Try some lavender. And it's probably not a heart attack if it's not lasting more than, I think, 3 to 7 minutes. I think 7 minutes, if your heart hurts for 7 straight minutes, I think then, you know. But that seems like a really long time. Don't listen to me about this part because I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical professional. I have no idea. I just, yeah, don't listen to that part.
All right. Dr. Andrew.
No.
I'm Dr. Andrew.
Yeah, so just... Yep. Panic attacks suck. That's all. That's really a.
Have a good day. Don't have a panic attack. Or you can't control them. So if you have a panic attack.
Yeah, see, now you don't know what to say.
Just be.
Because it's hard, right?
Just.
Because you can't tell someone not to have one because it's. And I want to tell people it's probably not a heart attack, but I can't be sure. And so it's hard to say, don't worry, guys. You're good. Because I don't actually know.
Well, have a good day. I hope you don't have a panic attack or a heart attack.
Yeah, those are horrible. Especially the last one because, well, not, no coming back from that usually.
Oh,
I mean, there
back.
Is, but like, oh, this is a train wreck.
Okay, bye. let's just end it.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
And that concludes another episode of Far Betterment. Thank you to all my listeners. Thank you to all my subscribers. And thank you to everybody who's rated the podcast so far. If you haven't subscribed, you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Apple, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, including where you're listening to podcasts right now. And please, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us tremendously. I can't tell you how much it helps us. If you want to give us anything less than 5 stars, please don't. There's really no reason.